T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
On with us is WIP's exceptional night guy, the great Joe Giglio. Hi, Joe.
Good morning, Angelo.
Joe, has Doug Peterson lost his way?
It certainly feels like it right now. He's lost his way offensively. I mean, this team, that was his thing. I mean, the offense has always been his thing. He's the play caller, and it's a broken offense right now. You watch it in every way. I mean, they didn't convert a first down on Sunday, which is really remarkable. The last time they did it was 2004. The last time they went three quarters without a first down, Mike McMahon was the quarterback. Like, that's how bad that offense was on Sunday. Yeah, I do think he has lost his way right now, and we need him to get it back.
All right, Joe, this is the thing that came out in a Jeff McClain piece that's on Inquirer.com right now. Jeff McClain, who I think is a terrific reporter, is reporting that Doug Peterson is so sensitive to the feelings of his quarterback, Carson Wentz, that he keeps Wentz on the field for the plays at which Hurts is taking the snap just to placate Wentz. If that's true, then Doug is coddling his quarterback, is he not?
Yeah, if that is true, yes, it is, because it's ridiculous. I mean, when you think about it, they're playing 10 on 11 in those plays. I mean, it's giving Jalen Hurts or whatever the play is supposed to be, but if it is supposed to be a pass or could be a pass, giving it no chance. I hope it's not true, but Angelo, that kind of fits with the organization. I mean, I go back to, and I remember when you had him on the next day and he tried to explain it to you. I go back to last January when Doug Peterson stood up for and said, my offensive coordinator, Mike Groh, is coming back. And the next day he was fired. And if you go back to some of the reports about Mike Groh and Carson Wentz, they never saw eye to eye. Now, I don't believe that was Doug's decision, but I believe this whole thing about placating Wentz, it could be part of a bigger organizational thing where, you know, Carson Wentz's feelings play a lot into everything they do, or love most of what they do, and maybe that's part of it. But that sounds bad to me.
But, Joe, here's the great twist in the story. While they're kissing Wentz's ass at every opportunity, 3 years since his good year, right? They get his heir apparent. They use a second-round pick for Jalen Hurts. How could they, on the one hand, coddle him this way, and on the other, put on the team a guy that could become his replacement? Explain that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they've created a kind of a ridiculous dynamic because clearly Wentz still has power. Clearly they still treat Wentz like the guy. I mean, I think almost every other quarterback in the NFL outside of, you know, Lock Hall of Famers, if they have the first half he had against Dallas, they're out of the game. Like they're sitting down for a half or a series. He didn't. So that tells you that they're still treating him in a high way. Yet you're right, Angelo, behind the scenes or just right in front of us in the second round of the draft, they put real pressure on him and took a guy that, you know, I mean, added together that very likely could be the next quarterback of the Eagles. I don't get it. It's like they're trying to do two things at once, and that's how you get a 3-5-1 team.
All right, but there's I would try to put myself in Doug's place. All right, Joe? And here's what I'm seeing. Howie Roseman used a second-round pick on Jalen Hurts. There's a pressure to somehow get Hurts involved right away. On the other hand, Wentz, who I'm sure does not love that Hurts is there, they could have used the lineman in the second round, somebody to block for him, something like that. They got to keep Wentz happy. Doug is in the middle of two big egos, Howie and Carson. You see it that way too?
I do. And unfortunately, the guy whose job feels like it's probably most on the line right now is Doug Peterson. Yeah. I mean, Howie Roseman, I think we all have a feeling, is not going to go anywhere, that he's in this front office forever, and maybe he will be forever. And Carson Wentz, although he could lose his position at some point, I mean, really, the Eagles are beholden to him for at least one more year financially. So if anyone walks around that building with immense day-to-day pressure, it's probably Doug Peterson trying to balance all this, try to walk on thin ice, and try to win football games, even if he's kind of forced to do some things that he doesn't want to do.
Joe, your best read on Wentz. Have we seen the best of him? Will he ever get back to 2017?
I don't think there's any chance he's getting back to 2017. I mean, yeah, I think we've seen the best of him.
Wow.
And Angela, I have, the more I watch him, the more I start to wonder if he's ever going to even be really good again. Like last year, I thought he was, you know, quite good at the end of the season, not 2017, but good, good enough to win. I don't know what he does well right now. Like I watch every quarterback in the league, and they all do something, or if not multiple things, really well. Whether it's great mobility, or great ball placement, or great ability to read a defense, and I don't think he does any of those things exceptional right now. And I think it's almost easy to play defense against the Eagles because of his deficiencies. Like he'll overthrow guys, he'll make the wrong read, or if you get him in pressure, he's probably not going to run around and beat you the way he used to. They're in trouble with this quarterback, and I don't know how they fix it. I don't know how you fix a quarterback that doesn't have any of those three things right now.
That is a terrific analysis, Sam. Let me move you over to baseball. I also have IRA baseball expert, the great Joe Johnson here. Joe, out of the blue over the weekend, Jason Stark reports that now the Phillies are actively seeking a replacement, not for the GM, Klentak, who has already been demoted, but to the president, Andy McPhail. What changed here? What made them suddenly start doing that?
I don't know. The only thing I know that changed, Angelo, is that we yelled about it for a couple weeks.
Yeah, I kind of think that did it.
That's what it was.
Well, I mean, think about it. A couple years ago, we'll never forget that, you know, Todd Zielecki cited the poll question on your show about Manny Machado, Bryce Harper. Like, the Phillies do listen to us, and it's great because I think teams should listen to their fans to an extent, but like, what's the plan over there? I just wish they had conviction in something, and I hope they get one of these guys. Eric Neander's name came up from Tampa Bay. That'd be amazing. But I just wish there was a plan, and it just feels like they're just making it up as they go along here, which never seems to actually lead to teams that win World Series.
I love the idea that we did it, because here's what I keep going back to, Joe. I've heard dumb stuff in my long career in the media. Andy McPhail's got two in the top five. If we don't, we don't. And nobody wants to relocate during a pandemic, all right? Do you think until John Middleton heard the buzz on the street, he was buying that BS from Andy McPhail?
He probably was. And then he probably turned on his TV or listened to us, and we're talking about the Angels hiring a new GM and interviewing 20 people. And I'm sure it had to slap them in the face that the Sixers hired Doc Rivers and Daryl Morey, as nobody wants to uproot during a pandemic. Like, somebody's going to wake up one morning, put you guys on, or listen to whatever, or watch whatever, and see all these names flying off the board for different teams, saying, wait a second, is the pandemic over? No, it's not. I guess we have to actually, you know, try to win baseball games and conduct business. I think that really had to strike them, that the Sixers across the street are doing big things.
All right, I have three final rapid-fire questions, Joe. Are you ready?
Ready.
Number one, does Andy McPhail still want to be here?
No.
All right. Two, do the fans want Andy McPhail here?
Absolutely not.
Finally, then why the hell is he here?
Because the Phillies don't want to pay him to go away. They're hoping he quits. I mean, this is like a Seinfeld episode here where he's like, is locked up in his office and they're waiting for the contract to run out. I don't think they want to pay him to go home, but they obviously don't want him here, and he doesn't want to be here, but I think he's just collecting a check until that date runs out.
Boy, these two teams are not at all dysfunctional, are they, Joe?
Yeah, just a little bit.
I'm with you. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. Joe Giglio, you can hear him every day at night at 6 o'clock right here at WIP. It's so bizarre, right? You got one. They don't know what to do now with Doug and Wentz.
Yeah.
Both, it's so weird it's become this. Oh, I want you to hear this. Hold on, before we go any further, I want you to hear how snippy Doug got yesterday. And this was with Ruben Frank, who is absolutely extremely knowledgeable.
Yeah.
And is also a great guy, all right? Doug Peterson, also a great guy. But Doug did not come across that way yesterday. So all Ruben Frank really wanted to know is, why aren't these plays with Jalen Hurts working out? Now, I asked it during my show.
Yeah.
But Doug was so flustered by some of the initial stuff that he responded as Jalen Reagor. And I was running out of time, so I didn't go back and explain to him, no, I meant Jalen. I said Jalen Hurts. You heard me wrong. But all Rube wants to know is why a lot of these plays look busted. Sometimes the ball ends up on the ground, et cetera, et cetera. Listen to the exchange between Ruben Frank yesterday and Doug Peterson.
What is your overall assessment of Jalen Hurts and what he's given you? Seems to be a ball security issue. Is that a concern with you? And, you know, how do you see his role evolving here?
Ball security, what do you mean?
Well, there's been a couple fumbles just when he's been
His fumbles or were they low snaps?
Well, I'm not talking about, I'm just talking about, he's had
I mean, what are they? I mean, are they him dropping the ball or is it the center quarterback exchange? I mean, he fumbles the ball. I want to know specifically from your perspective what it is.
Well, I mean, I'm not watching the film. I'm not calling the play. So you're watching the game.
You're watching the game.
Wow. That is just, that's uncomfortable. That's not Doug. That's not Doug.
No,
and the truth of the matter is whether he wants to quibble over whether the ball's landing on the ground or it's just not working, the basic premise is the same. The Hurts plays have not been working for a while now.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, if you're going to use him, don't you have to design plays that are effective?
No, he likes to shoehorn him in there and then say, hey, zone to the left.
No, it's just, John, that's not the Doug Peterson we have seen much of. Doug's actually a very good guy. Right now, he is facing, as he pointed out yesterday on this show, this is the most disappointed he's been with his team in 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
And he is not handling the adversity with, I don't want to say, with dignity. He is not handling it with dignity right now. He's really on the rough edge of this. And I'm just wondering if there's stuff going on behind the scenes that's setting him off, too. Take note of what's happening.
This is not his personality, and that's the problem. This is exactly why I was really uncomfortable when he admitted to second guessing himself. Mm. Because once you do that, you open the door for every second guess all the time. And if you then come across as like, well, you know, that's what I called. You sound bad because that's not been your personality before.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
It's like...
it's just he's not acting like Doug either way.
Yeah.
When he's being too kind and going, man, I don't know what I'm doing out there. Well, and then the next time saying, what the hell are you trying to say to me?
Yeah.
Right? Neither is him.
Yeah.
Dennis is on the line from Mount Laurel. He usually can figure this stuff out. Hi, Dennis.
Radio man. How you doing today?
What are you feeling, Dennis? What are you thinking?
I got some numbers for you. 17 points, pathetic. 11 penalties, pathetic. First quarter, they give up 14 points to a team that can't score, pathetic. 0-for-9 on third down, pathetic. Good play calling, give me a break, and 2-point conversions. Other than that, everything's good.
Yeah, Dennis, nobody could argue any of the numbers, but I need you to tell me that's the coach just telling me, right? The coach just had an awful game?
Yeah. It's the coach because the coach coaches the quarterback, and neither one of them are doing good, so you got to start with the head coach.
You know, it's amazing. The quarterback wasn't the number one story until yesterday when it became that way. And it became that way because the information came out that apparently Carson is sloppy at practice. That makes sense to me. Looks sloppy during the game. And then I'm being told that Carson doesn't leave the field on Hurts' plays because they don't want to hurt his feelings. I mean, Dennis, you can't run a team that way.
Now, here's another thing to consider. The biggest thing that anybody said about Carson was he didn't turn the ball over. Well, big deal. He played lousy. Danny Dimes outplayed him.
Oh, by far. Yeah, you know what it was? He was if you're going to camp him if he's going to have time, he's got to throw the ball accurately. He had enough time on a lot of those plays. He was airmailing it over their heads, in the ground. He was all over the place.
Look at that kid, Justin Herbert, out on the West Coast. Look at the kid in Florida. These kids are throwing a ball, pinpoint accuracy. They didn't have a training camp. So I'm tired of hearing this excuse about training camp and coaching. It's the quarterback.
All right, Dennis, are you losing patience with Wentz?
Oh, I've lost it. Not losing. It's gone.
Yeah, in other words, if they benched him all of a sudden, you would not feel terrible about that?
We can't do any worse than losing to the Giants with that second-round pick, can we?
Wow, Dennis has hit the wall. Dennis, you know what you're talking about. Dennis has had enough of Wentz right now. Dennis, give me a short person like Danny DeVito, who's very famous, past or present.
Well, somebody that you and I would know, and anybody over the age of 40 or 50, he was the biggest star in Hollywood for several years, Mickey Rooney.
Mickey Rooney, Al, was a monster. He also was a little kid. Mickey Rooney is a great one. You stay right there with that, Dennis. He was a kid star, and then he was still doing roles in his 80s.
See the gangster?
He's done gangster, but mostly he was comedy.
5'2".
And musicals.
5'2"?
5'2".
5'2".
Wow.
Can't be easy.
Wasn't he a local guy?
No.
Didn't he have a hotel here?
I think he was from Brooklyn.
Yeah, I thought he had a hotel here.
Do me a favor on the pop culture stuff.
I don't know.
Don't even try.
I thought he had a hotel.
Make no effort.
I thought he had a hotel
no,
here.
No, Al, it's not going to work. You're just taking shots in the dark. You got nothing. 215-592-0610. When we come back, Al, I want to play one more time something we played yesterday from Howie Rosen.
Okay.
About what he would have traded for the championship in 17. Because something happened last night on Monday Night Football that tells you that maybe we made a pact with the devil. That's next. WIP Sports Time, 7:16.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.